We are going through a series these next few weeks on navigating through a world of deception. Navigating through a world of deception. That is, finding our bearings in a world of confusion. Because as you live your life out in this world, as you live your life out in that little piece of property in which you, your house or apartment is, or as you work wherever you work, as you interact with people, it's so easy as a believer to be confused about how should I be living, or what should I be doing in these situations, or what do I need to do as I face these difficult situations that come my way. And the Bible gives us clear answers, especially in John's epistle here, his first epistle, as he's been talking to us about, as we're going to see today, about how we should be living, how we should be guiding our life through this world of deception that we're in. Notice last week we looked at, he wanted us to understand our present standing. And so in verses 12 through 14, he talked about some key things from your life that you need to understand as you begin to navigate through this world. The fact that we've overcome the enemy, that is the Satan. The fact that we know Jesus Christ, that He's God. The fact that we have a relationship with the Father. The fact that we have forgiveness, not because of us, but because of what Jesus has done for us. Now he gets into verse 15 and 16 and 17, and he's going to talk about this world in which we live in. And he's got a message for us. Don't get attached. Don't get attached to this world. Don't hold this world with much affection. Because this is only temporary. I want you to think about things. You know, as a boy, we had dogs. And as you know, as you get older, pets come and pets go, don't they? But then what will happen is that you'll have an animal and you'll get attached to that animal. And then something will happen. Something tragic, like maybe he runs out on the road and gets smashed by a garbage truck or something. You know, something like that, and you notice that your heart is heavy now. You're grieving because of the animal that you love, because you got attached to them. I remember when I was raising rabbits as a boy, we used to sell them at the corner feed store and so forth. My dad would say to me, "Now, boy, don't name these rabbits." Why was he telling me not to name those rabbits? Because he didn't want me attached to them, because he knew that the ones we didn't sell were going to end up in the freezer. Which meant ultimately they would end up on the table. And it's kind of hard to eat something that you just called fluffy not too long ago. Is that not true? All of us here understand about being attached to something, but what Paul's going to tell us here in these three verses, is that you and I should not get attached to this world. Notice what he says. Verse 15. He says this, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." We're going to notice, first of all, a warning. He gives us a warning concerning this issue of attachment. And so the first thing he says to us in the warning is this: don't get attached to this world. Don't get attached to this world in which you live in. Now, he's not talking about planet Earth. When he talks about the world, he's not talking about the planet. What he's talking about is the culture. He's talking about the influence of this world. He's talking about the culture in which you live in. Don't get attached to the culture, not the world per se, as far as the trees and the planets and as far as that. What he's talking about is that you don't get attached to the way of life that we have here in this world. Because the way of life in which we have here can be seductive and lead you the wrong way, which we as Christians must continually resist. And so he says, look, when you love something, that is, he's telling you not to be emotionally invested in the way of life that we have here, in the culture in which we have here. It's so easy to fall into that trap, isn't it? It's so easy for you and I to get attached to our way of life, to our culture, and to what's happening. But he's saying, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're going to navigate through this world, you can't get yourself attached to this world and the way the world does things. Let's just stop for a moment and think about that, though. When you think about the world and the way the world does things, the way the world does things today will not be the same a year from now, 20 years from now, or 100 years from now. The world is constantly changing in the way that it does things. For instance, the things that are accepted today, you and I know that there are things accepted today that 10 years ago were not accepted. Some of you are old enough to know that there are things accepted today that 50 years ago were not accepted. Why? Because the culture is constantly shifting. And what I want you to see about the culture is that at its heart, it is anti-God. Anti-God and antagonistic towards God. And so he's saying to you and I, don't love this world. Don't get attached to this world. Why? Because he goes on and tells us again there in verse 15, he says this, it's impossible to love God and the world. It's impossible for you to say, I love Jesus and I love God and I want to be with God, but yet you're attached to the way the things this world, the things of this world, the way this world operates and the way the world moves, the way the culture has. Let me just stop for a moment. I'll give you a little illustration to tell you what I'm talking about. One of the biggest temptations for Christians today in North America, the biggest temptation you're going to face is materialism. We are the wealthiest nation in the world. I think it's significant. I just shared with you the praise that we talked about, the bars of soap that we sent down to Haiti and the blessing they are. Micah, my friend who was just down there, said to me that the kids were so excited to get a package with soap. When's the last time your kids got excited about the soap you brought back from Walmart? I know my kids aren't excited about Safeguard. Unless there was a toy in the box. Do you know what I mean? The biggest temptation that we have as Christians today, and the biggest thing that really works on us, and I know the devil, he knows exactly where we're at because of our affluence and because of all the stuff that we have. And you say, well, I don't have anything. Well, you've got a lot more than 90% of the world does. And the biggest thing that he works on is that God of materialism comes in there, and we're so focused not on what Jesus wants anymore, not on the fact that one day we're going to leave this planet and be with Him. We're focused on, oh, you know, I know we painted that room 3 years ago, but there's a new color out now. Our room would look better in that color. So we spend money on that. Oh, did you see the new trends? So we spend money on that. And we buy and we buy and we buy. Because why? Because our affection, we are emotionally invested in what? This world. And John says, you can't have both. It's impossible to what? To love God. To have your focus to be emotionally invested in what He wants in your life. And to be emotionally invested in this world. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with things. I'm not saying that all of a sudden you guys need to walk around with shabby clothes or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. So don't blow away what I'm saying and say, oh, he's unreal, forget it. I'm not going to listen to him. But what I am saying, though, is that you can get to the place where things become your total focus. That's what I am talking about. And he says it's impossible. So he gives that warning. He tells us that we need to move away from that. Let me give you some scripture. James says it this way. James is a little bit more blunter. He's a little bit more straightforward. He just says it like it is. He says this in James chapter 4, verse 4. He says, friendship with the world is hatred towards God. I think I like it the way that John says it. But he's being real. Here's the reason why. Verse 16. The world is reflected in ungodly attitudes. The world, the culture, is reflected in ungodly attitudes. And he describes these in three ways. You've probably heard these before. I'll go through them again with you. He describes these ungodly attitudes, these essential markings of a pagan lifestyle. A pagan lifestyle is an ungodly lifestyle, where God is not the focus in your life. He describes them this way. Number one is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, number two, and then number three, the pride of life. What do they mean? First of all, the lust of the flesh. Men of the world live for the cravings of sinful men. They live for the cravings of sinful men. They live for what their bodies want. Sexual sin is right there among them. But he's not just talking about sexual sin. Because we all have those cravings. Have you ever seen a woman mad for chocolate? Just go to Walmart on Wednesday, the day after Halloween, when they drop the price on all the chocolate. You ladies know what I'm talking about. I know, because if I'm in Clearfield, I have to stop by and call on the cell phone. Well, they've got this, the Snickers, and got this. See, that's what we're talking about. No, that's so funny. But those, the lust of the flesh, men living for the craving, men and women living for the cravings of their flesh, is one of these ungodly attitudes that is reflected in our culture. He also says this, the lust of the eyes. The expression, the lust of his eyes, points to a man's covetousness. You know what it's like? You're driving along in your car, you've been content with your car, until all of a sudden it makes that bang and a ting, and all of a sudden something doesn't work right. The player doesn't go right, and then all of a sudden you're driving down the road and there's your buddy, there's your friend, and they got their new whatever. And all of a sudden you're thinking, I wonder how much that payment is. I would think I would look a whole lot better than him if I was driving that. And that's what he's saying is the lust of the eyes. When we begin to covet something, it's worshiping at the god of materialism. You know what I'm talking about. You see somebody come in, they're wearing a nice outfit, and you're looking at them, and you're going, well, that really looks good on them, but it would look even better on me. Isn't that true? That's the lust of the eyes. And is our culture not enveloped in that? Our culture is completely consumed with stuff to appease what? Eyes. What our eyes want. And then finally he says this. He says the pride of life signifies a proud and ostentatious way of life. That is the boasting of life. That is looking at life and saying, look at what I have. Look at who I am. Isn't that our culture? That sums up our culture, because our culture is not based upon everyone living out their lives. Our culture is you strive in dog-eat-dog world. You be who you need to be. And who cares about whoever's in the way, but you, what you've got to do. That's the pride of life. And what John is saying to us here is the world is reflected in the ungodly attitudes, but the problem is we love this world. We recognize that all of those things are wrong, but love this world. And we just go right along with it. Chuck Colson here recently gave a Breakpoint commentary. And this is what he says. He tells a story from the childhood biologist named Benno Mueller-Hill. He said, one day the boy's teacher set up a telescope to show students the planets and the moon. One by one, the students looked through the telescope and said, yes, I can see the planet. Finally, one student said, I can't see anything. The teacher angrily told him to adjust the lens. Still, the student said, I can't see anything. The teacher finally leaned over and looked. Then he stood up with a very strange expression on his face. He glanced at the end of the telescope and saw that the cap was still on the end of the telescope. Just as most of the students saw what they were told to see, many people see the world just as others see it. And we just go right along. And so we struggle with the lust of the flesh. We struggle with the lust of the eyes. We struggle with the pride of life because of the present world. We love this present world. So John goes on and he says this. The point he wants to make is these attitudes are not from God. Notice what he said, verse 16. Is not of the Father, but of this world. Here, let me just explain something to you. You go to Walmart and you're noticing the new whatever there and you're like, man, I can't live without you, without that. That desire did not come from God. That desire came from the culture. When your kids watch TV, especially now as we're getting close to Christmas season, you ever notice that? All of a sudden now they see that commercial for that toy, and all they want now is that toy. And life won't be the same unless they have what? That toy. They were fine until they saw that commercial, weren't they? It wasn't God who planted that desire in their heart for them to have that toy. It was the culture. It was the culture. It was the culture. And so he tells us then that, you know what, these ungodly attitudes don't come from God. We need to recognize that. If you're struggling in those areas, if you're struggling with covetousness, if you're struggling with just giving to the cravings of your body, if you're struggling with the whole issue of pride, and what you can get out of life, this goes for me too, then the issue for us is not a question of, do I love God? The issue is that I'm too wrapped up and too attached to this culture, to this world. So then he tells us the reasons why we need to do it. Now he gets to the reality. Notice verse 17. He gives us the reality and he says this, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. A couple things. Number one, this present world is passing away. Don't get attached too much to this place. Don't get attached. Because one day it's going to be gone. Gone. Well, you might be saying, well, you know, George, I plan on living a little bit longer. I've got a 30-year plan or a 40-year plan. Some of you got a 50 or 100-year plan. It doesn't matter what kind of plan you have. You don't know if you have tomorrow. And I'm 40 years old, and I've seen enough reality in my life to know that there are people, even some of my relatives, even some, my own brother, he thought he was going to live forever, and he died at 38. And we've seen young ones buried. We've seen those who've lived longer. They didn't know how long they were going to live. And you can't get attached to this culture. You can't get attached to this world because this world is passing away. It's going to be gone. And the lusts thereof, that is, the things that the evil desires thereof, is going to be gone. It's passing away. In fact, many people are like this. According to the Chicago Tribune, on March 3rd, 1995, a 38-year-old man who was walking to his temporary job at a warehouse in Rosemont, Illinois, tried to get there by cutting across 8 lanes of the Tri-State Tollway. After he crossed the 4 northbound lanes and got to the median, the wind blew his hat off back into 4 northbound lanes. He decided that he liked that hat So he chased after it. He was hit by a semi and was killed instantly. You know, when we're wrapped up in the culture, we're just like that guy. When we're striving after the lust of our eyes and the lust of our flesh, and we're striving after the pride of life and all those things that we think the world has to offer us, we're just like a guy chasing after his hat on a tollway in Chicago. And then when life smacks us, we wonder what happened. The world is passing away. The world is passing away. Don't get attached to this place. Don't get attached to this country. Don't get attached to this world. Hey, you live in the greatest country in the world, but I'll be honest with you, one day it's going to be gone. Remember, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a citizen of heaven, which brings me to my next point. Here's what he says. He says, believers will live forever. Hold on loosely to the things of this world. I want you to think about it this way. If we were to understand our existence, I want you to think about the front of this church as eternity. And let's talk about our life here now. Let's say God gives you 100 years in light of eternity. If all of this front is eternity, if we just kind of view it as all of this front is eternity, and your life is about 100 years, your life would be represented by the corner of that room as the crack. The rest of your life will be existing in eternity, whether it's with Jesus or whether it's in hell. This life is just a minutia. See, that's what he's saying. Don't get attached. Don't live for the stuff that happens. Now think about it. Think about it for a moment. When you think about it, when you're striving after the pride of life, you're striving after the lust of your flesh, you're striving after the lust of your eyes, the things you want, the cravings of your body. Think about the frustrations that you and I live under, and it has nothing to do with God. It has to do with our culture. Oh, you just want it. You just got to have it. And you're just miserable until you get it. Then you get it. And guess what? It breaks. Or you find out, even if it doesn't break, that it doesn't bring you to satisfaction, does it? Then you're distracted by something else. I've been reading a book, great book, Wild at Heart by John Eldridge. And in it, he talks about the quest for the golden hair woman. He quotes an author who talks about the quest for the golden hair woman. And in it, he talks about this man who is with this woman. And he's okay with this woman until he sees this golden hair woman. And so now his passions are aroused. Now his sense of challenge is aroused. Now he says, if I only had that golden haired woman, life would be okay. So he leaves the woman he's with to chase after the golden hair woman. He chases her, catches her, and he's now with the golden-haired woman. Then after about 3 months, he realizes that the golden-haired woman is just another woman. So now he wonders, I wonder if there's another golden-haired woman out there. And so he keeps searching, he keeps searching, and he keeps searching for the golden-haired woman. Isn't that the way we are? When we strive after the things of this world because our focus is not on the eternal, not on that we're going to live forever, not that I'm an eternal being who's going to be with God for most of my life, but my focus is on now. Now. On a truck. Till a guy smashes in my side or a deer runs out. Then it's another truck. Or a dress. Or a house. or a vacation. And then you realize that that's not it either, is it? Or a marriage. Well, if that marriage doesn't work out, then I'll try another marriage. If that person doesn't work out, then I'll try another person. And the reality is that we're striving after the things of this world, and John says, don't love this world. Love God. Three things I want you to consider. Two questions, first of all. Are you attached? Are you attached to this world? Are you? You want to know how you're attached? Let me just be honest with you. This is how you know how you are attached, whether you're attached to God or whether you are attached to this world. You want to know how? What has your focus? What do you mean, George? What is it that you're living for? What are you living for? What's your focus? Is it moolah? I'll be honest with you, you can chase that one, you'll never be satisfied. Because even if you made what you think is enough money, when you get there, it won't be enough money. Just ask Bill Gates. $46 billion rich. You know what? He still goes to work every day. Why? He's trying to make the next billion. Are you attached to this world? I'm going to be honest with you. If you're attached to this world, you got to recognize that you are walking down a fruitless path that leads to pain and emptiness. That's true for myself. That's true for you. Are you attached to this world? The next thing, is it reflected in your behavior? Is it reflected in your behavior? Because you could be attached to this world and others will know it. They'll know it by the way you live your life. It'll come out. It's not like a dirty little secret that I'm secretly loving the world and nobody else will know. No, it'll be reflected in your actions. It'll be reflected in the things that you seek after. It'll be reflected in how much time you spend at work. It'll be reflected in what is your primary goal in life. It'll be reflected in your life. Everybody will be able to see. Because that's where your focus will be. And then finally, the point of John is this: commit your life to Christ. Don't let your focus be this world. Don't let your focus be this culture. Don't let it be the stuff that this world has to offer. It's empty. It's meaningless. Lori was telling me something she read in a book one time. She said, not too many people on their deathbed wish that they were at the office 1 hour more. I'll be honest with you. When you see them on their deathbed, they wish they were with their loved ones 1 hour more. No one says, oh, I wish I had done a little bit more overtime. Commit your life to Jesus. Get your priorities in order. Because if your priorities are focused on this world, you're headed down a path that is not going to bring satisfaction. Can I be honest with you? It'll just keep bringing you more pain. And more pain, and more emptiness, and more pain, and more emptiness, and more pain. You get the picture? Pain and emptiness. Commit your life to Jesus. Hey, you're going to spend the rest of eternity with Him. He knows what's best for you. Commit it to Him. Let's pray.